Good morning, everyone. It's great to be together, great to worship together. Just to let you know, so next week we're going to be starting a new preaching series, our main preaching series for the term, which we are calling Beloved, Exploring God's Heart for the Church Through the Prayers of Paul. It's a bit of a mouthful, but we're going to be looking at a number of Paul's prayers in his letters and seeing what they reveal to us about God's heart for the church to hopefully encourage, strengthen and re-envision us for a passion for being part of God's people and what that means in the practical and why that is so good for us and part of the fruit of God's gospel in our lives. So I hope that sounds exciting. That's what we're going to be starting next week and mainly looking at this term. As Ben said this morning, I just want to speak, not for very long, just to kind of bring a word of encouragement that I felt the Lord lay on my heart, which Ben's kind of teed up for us, as he said a number of times. You know, September is often, because we still kind of work to that academic calendar, if you've got kids or in a church with kids, is often a time where there's quite a bit of change happening, quite a bit of transition. And so as Ben's mentioned, a lot of the kids are starting back at school. Some may be starting school for the first time. We've got one of those in our house. There are maybe tests coming up. But for you adults as well, there might be some changes kind of on the horizon, perhaps some new jobs, perhaps some change in your personal experiences, perhaps some new opportunities that God wants to open up for you in this season. And then for us as a church, we're always asking the question of the Holy Spirit, okay, what's next? And obviously, that most of you know, I've been away for 3 months on sabbatical, just taking some time to kind of rest and stop and listen. And I don't have anything like, you know, like concrete in terms of like, right, this is absolutely what God's saying. But I think us as elders, we've been praying over the last kind of weeks, and we do get a sense that there's some stuff brewing, there's some stuff bubbling on the horizon for us as a church, some new things that God wants us to step into. And those are things that we can step into with real confidence because God is good and he has good things and good plans for us. So I don't know what those are, but I'm just throwing that out there. Let's all collectively listen to the Holy Spirit and see where he wants to lead us as his people. But as I was thinking about this week and asking the Lord what he wanted me to kind of share with you, there was just a very simple phrase that I just felt he dropped into my heart, which was this phrase, he goes before you. He goes before you. Because whatever kind of change we might be on the cusp of, either personally or corporately, it can throw up a whole mix of emotions, can't it? You know, a sense of kind of excitement, but also a kind of wariness, feeling daunted or overwhelmed or uncertain. And so I just believe the Lord wants to just lovingly and very simply remind you this morning that he goes before you. And that's a word that God says to his people a number of times in different places within the scriptures. So what we're going to do just for a few moments this morning is briefly look at one of those occasions to see how God wants to encourage us. So if you've got your Bibles, you want to turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 31. We're just going to look at a couple of verses this morning. So Deuteronomy 31 verses 7 to 8. Now when we get to Deuteronomy 31, what we find is Moses handing over leadership to Joshua to lead God's people into the promised land. So I'm sure you're familiar with the story. They've been wandering in the desert for 40 years because of their disobedience. A whole generation of people have died off, and now God has brought them to near the Jordan, to the edge of the promised land. And Deuteronomy essentially is Moses preaching to them, teaching them, reminding them of their history, reminding them of their failures, reminding them of God's faithfulness, and preparing their hearts for entering into all that God has for them. And it's an amazing book if you haven't read it, but there's a moment in there where, just before this bit that we're going to read, he basically says to the people, choose life. He says, I'm putting before you kind of life and death. I'm putting before you the option of obedience to walking God's ways or disobedience to not to. And one of them leads to life, and one of them leads to death. And I love the fact that even back here, thousands of years ago, the Father is inviting his people to come and experience life. And that's the invitation that God is always extending to us. Come and walk in my ways. Come and know me. Come and follow me and experience life. We've just spent a whole year, haven't we, as a church, looking at that invitation and how to step into that invitation that Jesus says, come and have life to the full. That's not a new message. That's always been God's heart, to invite us into the fullness of life. And so we get to this point at the end of Deuteronomy where Moses is not going to be allowed to go into the promised land. And so he's handing over the leadership to Joshua. And this is what it says in verse 7. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words spoken thousands of years ago to Joshua, Lord God, and yet by your Spirit spoken to us here today. And so we just pray that you would just come and speak to us and encourage our hearts from the youngest to the oldest. I pray you'd grab our attention. I know it's hard for the kids to stay focused for a little bit, especially after 6 weeks of holiday, but I pray this morning that you would grab their attention with this truth that we're going to be thinking about, that you go before them, that you are with them, and that they do not need to fear. And so I pray you'd encourage each and every one of us here this morning with those words. Amen. Amen. Now, up to this point, Moses has been the main man. He's been God's kind of main guy to lead his people. Moses had this incredible relationship with God and this responsibility given to him. So it's a big deal for Joshua to be commissioned to lead God's people, to step into this mantle that Moses is handing over to him. Now, the text doesn't tell us how Joshua is feeling in this moment, but I'm sure we can all imagine whenever we feel a sense of stepping into something new, a new responsibility or a new season, it's a big deal for us. It's a big change, and often we can think, I'm not sure that I can do this. And so it wouldn't be a surprise in this moment, as faithful as Joshua has been, if he's not kind of slightly overwhelmed, if he's not thinking, oh my word, I'm not sure. Like, I've been with these people for a long time. I know that they're not an easy people to lead. Okay, so I'm not sure that I can do this. And so the things that Moses says to him, the things that God says to him about the fact that you're going to go in, okay, and you're going to take possession of the land, and the Lord is going before you, and he's going to be with you. So you don't need to fear. So you don't need to be discouraged or dismayed. These specific encouragements God gives to Joshua and Israel, like over and over and over and over again. It's not a one-off thing. So even though we don't quite know how Joshua's feeling, we know that from God's perspective, he's like, you need to hear this. Not just once, not just twice, but over and over and over again, because this is not going to be easy. And so we need to hear it again, don't we? You know, we need to hear God's truth, even if we think, oh yeah, I know that. No, we need to hear it again and again and again so that we can be strengthened and encouraged by it. So I just want to spend a few minutes this morning looking at just three things that we find in verse 8 that God encourages Joshua with. Okay, the first of those is, it is the Lord who goes before you. Okay, so Joshua and all Israel are on the Jordan. Okay, they are about to step out into the unknown. Okay, they know they're going into enemy territory. They're holding on to God's promises, but they do not know what lies ahead. They don't know what's around the next corner. Okay, and that's the same for us, isn't it? You know, whatever we're stepping into in this new season, even if it's not a significant change, we do not know the future. We don't. We don't know what's going to happen this afternoon. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We can have hopes and we can have plans, but the reality is we just don't know. We don't know what is around the corner for us. And so the first encouragement that God brings to Joshua, and I believe the Lord wants to bring to us this morning, is that even though we don't know what lies ahead, he does. He knows what tomorrow brings. He knows what's coming. He knows what is around every corner. And because he's gone ahead, The promise is that he will bring us to where he has gone. He will bring us to where he has gone. We have been to Leeds Castle a couple of times in the last couple of months. Because thank you, by the way, somebody very kindly in the church, I've no idea who, blessed us as a family with like tickets to Leeds Castle. So thanks so much. We were super blessed by that. So we've been a couple of times and the maze has been a big hit at Leeds Castle. Now, the first time we were in the maze, Joel was like, can I go around on my own? And we were like, not sure that's a good idea. But he was pretty adamant. He was like, no, I can go on my own. Now, disclaimer, we've been twice. Second time, Joel did go on his own, got to the middle first out of all of us, okay? First time was a different experience. So basically, Joel got lost in the maze. And fortunately, if you've ever been to Leeds Castle maze, there's like a raised bit in the middle where they have somebody standing who knows how the maze goes, and if you get lost, can direct you from the middle. And so the guy had to shout out directions for Joel in order to find the middle. And in the same way that that guy had a full view of the maze, and so was therefore able to guide Joel to where he needed to go, God sees the whole picture. Yeah, we're kind of sometimes walking around and we don't know what's around the corner. Yeah, and yet God doesn't just know what's around the corner. He sees the whole thing. I'll always remember my dear friend David Akinosho's prayer that he used to pray over and over again was, Lord, you know the end from the beginning. Every single prayer that David ever prayed, Lord, you know the end from the beginning. And that's the encouragement that God sees the whole picture. But he doesn't just know the path ahead. Actually, even more encouragingly, he has set the path ahead. So God's not following a train that somebody else has set in place. No, he's the one who has set the path. He's not going ahead in order to see where the path goes. He has determined where the path goes. He has determined what the outcome is. And even better than that, he doesn't just set the way, he makes the way. His promise to Joshua that he would go before him is a promise of victory. It's a promise that he has gone before him and claimed for Joshua what he wants to give to him. And we see that example when Joshua approaches Jericho and he's looking at this impenetrable fortress in front of him and God says, see, I have given it to you into your hands. And you look at it and go, no, you haven't. No, you haven't. It's like there and I haven't got it. And yet, because God has gone ahead, victory for Joshua is assured. There are things that God has for you, things, maybe prayers that you're asking for, that you kind of think, gosh, this looks like an impenetrable fortress before me. And the Lord would say to you, no, see, I've given it into your hands because I've gone before you, so the victory is assured. All that we have to do is be attentive to his direction, to follow where he has already gone. And our problems come when we try to go our own way, when we try and forge ahead without him. And yet Proverbs 3 famously says, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways. And how will he lead you? He will lead your paths straight. The Lord has straight paths to us if we would be attentive and follow him. So that's the first encouragement. It is the Lord who goes before you. The second encouragement that we read in verse 8, he says, he will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. So not only does the Lord go ahead, but he also walks alongside. I find that really encouraging. You know, there's a sense that sometimes we could hear the Lord's gone ahead of me, a bit like Ben was saying earlier, that, you know, he's over there. He's ahead, he's in the distance, and I'm kind of squinting, trying to make out, Lord, where are you? Oh, he's over there. Okay, I've got to somehow get to from here to there. And yet the promise isn't just that he's gone ahead. The promise is, no, he's with you. He's right beside you. The thing that happened in the maze with Joel is that as the guy was trying to give him directions, Joel couldn't quite work out how to follow those directions to get into the middle. And so what the guy did is he came down off of his kind of central area and went and found Joel and walked with him and brought him to the center. And I just think, isn't that a beautiful picture of what Jesus has done for us? That each and every one of us were just wandering around, lost, unable to find our way, and Jesus comes down to find us. He doesn't just call us from a distance. He comes down into our lostness, takes us by the hand, and brings us to where he is. And just as he's done that once and for all in terms of our relationship, he still does that in our day to day. He doesn't just call us from afar. He comes down. He walks beside us. He takes our hand in his and leads us on his way. Psalm 139 says, "You hem me in front and behind, or behind and before, and lay your hand upon me." I mean, that's like layer upon layer upon layer of security, isn't it? Yeah, you hem me in. You're in front of me and you're behind me. And if that wasn't enough, your hand is upon me. Every morning, it is pretty much every morning, Caleb gets up earlier than he's supposed to. And he's our youngest. He's 4, by the way, if you don't know. And he toddles along to our room and kind of hovers at the bedside. And occasionally, we pull him in just because we can't be able to get up yet. And he's in between us. And I always think, what a place to be. He's got mum on the right, dad on the left. He's hemmed in. That's the place he loves to be because that's the safe place. And so we walk into the unknown. What an encouragement it is to us that we are hemmed in, surrounded by the Father's love with his hand upon us. And not just in the moments that we get stuck, not just in the moments that we don't know what our next move is, but all the time. His promise is, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. It's not like, oh, in those really, really tricky moments, I will hem you in and I'll walk beside you, but the rest of your time, just follow on from a distance. It's like, no, never will I leave you. I'm always by your side. Again, one of the things that they have at Leeds Castle, all my illustrations are Leeds Castle based this morning, is that there's an obstacle course. And Josie, our daughter, was going up, climbing thing on one side, a net on the other. And it's like quite high for Jose. And she was doing brilliantly. She was like super brave, but she got up to the top and kind of was a bit like, oh, first time around, like I'm a bit stuck. And so I kind of went over to her and I was just able to, I didn't really even need to kind of help her. I wasn't having to lift her, but just putting my hand, you know, kind of behind her back and saying, it's all right, I've got you. And then she was able to kind of go over. And the next time she was able to do it with more confidence. And I just felt as I was preparing this that the Lord would just want to say to all of you this morning, whatever's on the horizon, he's got you. He's got you. You don't need to fear. You don't need to worry about falling. Okay? He's got you. You might not even feel his hand, but it's there. Psalm 121 speaks of God as our helper and our keeper, the one who will not let our foot slip. He has got you. He's with you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. And then the final encouragement we read is he says this. He says, do not fear or be dismayed. Now, just because God goes before us and just because he walks beside us doesn't mean that the things that he has for us to step into are going to be easy, right? So the reality is when God takes you into a new thing, there are battles to fight. There are enemies that need to be overcome. You know, God had promised Israel the land, but there were still plenty of battles that they had to go and fight. And some of those battles, a few of them, God miraculously intervened in supernatural ways in order to bring them victory. But most of those battles, yeah, their victory came about through the courageous and faithful acts of the people, trusting that God was working through them and fighting for them, believing in God's promises and stepping out in obedience to him. And so that's why God repeatedly says to both the people and to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Do not fear. Do not be dismayed. Do not be discouraged. Now, if it's plain sailing and it's going to be easy, you don't need to say those words to people. You just say, off you go. Enjoy. Step into it. It'll be fine. And yet God says, no, I've gone before you. I'm walking beside you. I'm not going to leave you. But do not fear. Do not fear, because there's going to be times where it's hard. Times where you're having to fight battles. Times when you feel like giving up. Times when you are afraid or tempted to be afraid. But do not fear. Do not be dismayed. Be strong and courageous. See, we face very real battles to step into the fullness of God's plans for us and the fullness of what we have received in Christ. And we have an enemy that is set against us to prevent us from doing both of those things. To steal away who we are truly in Jesus, to thwart God's purposes in our lives. And the main way, from my experience, that the enemy does that is through fear and intimidation. You know, I sometimes think, if only I didn't fear this, you know, if only I didn't fear that, if only I could be completely free of fear, how effective or how fruitful could I be for God's kingdom? If only I wasn't afraid, so afraid all the time. Fear of getting it wrong, fear of looking stupid, fear of failing, fear of being disappointed, fear of experiencing pain, fear of loss, or fear of humiliation. These are all the things, I don't know about what they are for you, but these are all the things that the enemy dangles in front of my face when I hear God speaking and telling me to go somewhere. When I think about obeying, those are the battles I need to overcome. Those are the things that he dangles in my face to prevent me from stepping into all that God has for me. And yet, as we were wonderfully reminded a couple of weeks ago by Percy when he brought those few lines from that psalm, I sought the Lord and he answered me and he delivered me from all of my fears. God says to Joshua, he says to us this morning, do not fear. Do not be dismayed. I believe that we don't have to live in fear. Yeah, our inheritance in Christ is not fear. The Bible is clear, perfect love casts out all fear. So what does that mean? That means if we are dwelling in perfect love, if we are experiencing on a moment-by-moment, daily basis, perfect love, then fear can't exist in that place, can it? There's a song that says, my fear doesn't stand a chance when I'm standing in your love. So if you're somebody this morning who is susceptible to fear, dismay, discouragement, particularly when you think about stepping into new things, the antidote to that is to step into the fullness of the Father's love, because the two things can't coexist in the same place. And so my fear doesn't stand a chance when I'm standing in your love. And so just as we close this morning, I'd just love to invite you, if you would like to, I'd love to pray for anybody who just wants a fresh impartation of courage from the Lord this morning. Strength and courage to overcome fears and obstacles for whatever is new that God has for you in this next season. So I just want you to take a moment to think about that. I don't want you just to stand up for the sake of standing up because everyone else is standing up. But if you know this morning, actually, you know what? There's things that I am fearful of that I want God to just give me courage to overcome. Or just there's new things that I'm nervous about stepping into that I just need the strength of Jesus to step into obediently and faithfully. I'd just love to invite you to stand and I'd love to pray for you. So if you want me to pray for you, you can stand now. Yeah, Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you for my dear brothers and sisters here this morning. Lord, I thank you for your gift of grace in every single one of their lives. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you have plans and purposes for us that are good. That are good for our good and for the world's good. And yet, Lord, we know that we have an enemy who loves to thwart your purposes and loves to steal away what is rightfully ours in you. And so, Jesus, we just ask you to send your Holy Spirit afresh this morning, Lord, to give us courage. Give us courage to say yes to you. Give us courage that comes from knowing that you've gone ahead of us, that you walk beside us. And Lord, the things that we are fearful of, we just lay them down at your feet this morning. And we just pray that the power of them would be broken off of us in Jesus' name. And that you'd bring us into freedom. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would fill us afresh with the Father's love. And help us on a daily basis to abide in your love rather than to abide in fear, rather than to abide in anxiety, rather than to abide in endless what-ifs, rather than to abide in concerns about the outcome, rather than to abide in trying to control things. We want to abide in perfect love. And so by faith, we receive your love this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.